Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
To you guys on a Sunday morning, and so I felt really extra appreciative as I'm preaching this morning, and we have our last Sunday coming up on July 20th as Emma and I just feel the Lord calling us to something new, leading us to something new. But man, we're excited about that. And I just also want to say thank you to all of you. Every person that I've at least interacted with has been so encouraging, has been nothing but uplifting as we've been navigating through this and just saying we support you, we're praying for you, we're just excited for what God's leading you to. And that really is so helpful for us when it's hard when you're taking a step of faith and it can feel vulnerable and it can feel scary and you're not sure what people are going to think or how they're going to respond. But I just have been so blessed by how you have also just been able to just trust in God as well and say, hey, God's got something even better in store, and we believe in that, and we're going to live that out, you know. And so just thank you so much, seriously. You all have been such a blessing to Emma and I, and I really appreciate the way you've responded to this decision we're making. But anyways, with that aside, have you ever had to give your all for something? Have you ever gone all in for something, whether it was maybe the instrument you play or the sport you're playing, maybe it's your job, whatever it might be? There's things in life where if we want to get the result that we're hoping for, if we want to achieve what we're hoping to achieve, we come to this moment where we have to realize, all right, if I want to get where I want to go, if I want to get what I want to get, I need to go all in. I need to give my time. I got to give my money. I got to give my resources. I'm going to have to make sacrifices to achieve this thing, whatever it may be. I'm sure every one of you has had something in your life where you sat down and you said, all right, if I'm going to get where I need to go, I got to be ready to be fully committed, to go all in, to make a sacrifice. And I'm a big sports fan. I love watching professional sports. And something I hear over and over again when they're interviewing athletes or just talking to them about their accomplishments, they always talk about the great sacrifice that they had to make. They gave up time with their family. They gave up church on Sunday. Their family gave up tons of money. And they just talk about the great cost of getting to where they got. And thankfully, they got what they were hoping to achieve. But they talk about how if this didn't work out, they wouldn't have had much else left. They wouldn't have had many other options because they cut off every other option. It was either I achieve this goal or there's nothing else. And that's part of why they're able to be great, because of this immense commitment that they've made. And there's just many, many people like that. Many of the people that we behold as people who have accomplished something great, it's because of what they've given to achieve that. And the reality is, just for us in general, the thing that makes something valuable to us, or the reason why something is important to us, valuable, is because of what it costs to achieve that thing, because of what we had to give to obtain it. And today I want to talk about how Jesus is actually calling us to a decision that takes everything for us. And if there is anything in life that is worth are everything, it is Jesus and what he has for us. And so Jesus has a call for us today, and I want to look at what that is. And so I'm going to start with just opening to the book of Mark. Okay, so if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and pull it out. We're going to look through a lot of scripture today and a lot of the expectation that Jesus sets for us, and what it takes to follow him and what it takes to receive what he has, the fullness of what he has. But we're going to look in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31 to start. And it's a story about a rich young man, a rich young ruler. So starting in verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud or honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then could be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter spoke, we have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mother, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus brings up an incredible challenge here. And he's beginning to really set a precedent and a new kind of framework for what really matters and what is truly valuable in life. But what is truly valuable in the kingdom of God? And he's specifically addressing somebody who's wealthy here. And he's talking about how hard it would be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Talking about someone who's rich in money, has wealth of this world. But I think Jesus is also making a point about how difficult it is for any person to enter the kingdom of heaven whose heart is captivated by anything of this world, whose heart is owned by anything in this world. And Jesus brings up quite the cost to follow him. To this rich young ruler, he says, that's great. You've followed the law. You've been a good person your whole life. But Jesus saw there's this one thing. I see your heart is still owned by your possessions, by your wealth. So go sell your possessions and come follow me. That's pretty extreme. That's a pretty crazy thing to ask. And this man isn't able to do it, and he walks away sad. But there is no length that Jesus will not go to have our hearts. And I think we need to be refreshed on who Jesus is and what he's about and what he's calling us to. Jesus will cost you something. Is he worth the cost to you? Is he worth what it takes to follow him? I want to turn to Luke chapter 14 now. Chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. This is titled, The Cost of Discipleship, The Cost of Being a Disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turning to them, and he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you sit first down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and you are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything have not or cannot be my disciples. Once again, a very great challenge Jesus presents here to anybody who desires to follow him. If you are not willing to give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. He says if you're not willing to leave father and mother, brother and sister, if you're not willing to hate this world, if you're not willing to carry your own cross, to take up dying to yourself, suffering, you cannot go where I'm going to lead you. You will not be able to go where I'm going to lead you. See, Jesus is trying, he's not trying to set you up for a bait and switch here. Jesus is laying it out clear right off the bat for all who would seek to follow him. He's saying, I have the way to life. I have eternal life. I have all that's available to my Father in heaven, well, I can make available to you. I have greater things in store for you than you could possibly even imagine. Scripture says greater are the things that the Father is preparing for you than you can even imagine. We can't even fathom what our Father has in store. Jesus makes all this available to us. Jesus says, I have greater purpose for your life than anything in this world could ever offer you. But it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to be willing to take on suffering, to take on trials. He's just trying to set a realistic expectation for you right off the bat, because he doesn't want you to sign up to follow him and then be caught off guard when it does indeed begin to cost you. Don't begin until you've counted the cost. The reality is, if we are not ready to give Jesus everything, if we have not counted the cost, if we're not prepared to take on what is going to come our way by following Jesus, we're going to be in for a really rude awakening when following Jesus does begin to cost you, when it begins to cost you the promotion at your job, in your workplace, when it begins to cost you people's opinion of you, or maybe people begin to slander your name. People begin to talk bad about you. People begin to ridicule you because of your faith. You lose status with people. When it begins to literally cost you money, when God actually asks you to sacrifice something, when he calls you to actually give something up, you're going to be quite surprised if you have not counted the costs. And I will say, just from my own experience, so many just people that I've seen walk away from the Lord, I think they started off their walk with Jesus with the wrong expectations. I think they were sold this lie, this idea that Jesus will just be a nice sidekick to whatever endeavor they see fit for themselves, and everything will be sunshine and rainbows moving forward as soon as you raise your hand and say yes to Jesus. But that's just not the case. And I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "Safe? Who said anything about being safe? God is not safe, but he is good." And sometimes the most good things in life, the most worthy things in life, are some of the most dangerous, risky, painful, costly things. Again, why is something so valuable? Why does something matter so much to us? It's because of what it costs to obtain it, to achieve it. Any great story that we admire, the reason why the story is so great is because usually, the hero of the story was faced with great pain, great cost, and they overcame it. They were faithful through it, right? They achieved something great, but it came at a great cost, a great sacrifice, or great commitment. God wants you to live a great story. He has an incredible plan for you, but it's also an adventure. He's calling you to take a step out on the waters. He's calling you to walk through the wilderness. He's calling you to walk through the desert. He's calling you to stand in the face of persecution. And I'll tell you, as scary as it might sound, when you truly stand strong and are faithful for something worthy, when you truly sacrifice for something worthy, there's nothing more just invigorating, nothing more fulfilling than truly paying the price or experiencing the cost of something that is truly worthy. And there's nothing more worthy than life with Jesus. The reality is, if we are authentically walking with Jesus, it's inherently going to cost us worldly things. It's just a matter of fact. The things of God naturally oppose the things of this world. And we are people who live in the world. And so if we walk truly with Christ, the world will oppose you. And it will oppose your flesh. The two don't go together. You can't have the world and have Jesus. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. Jesus is calling us to very decisive action. He's saying, I'm calling anyone to follow me. I'm making salvation available to all people. It is my free gift to you. Anyone can follow me. Anyone can receive this. But just know what comes with the choice, what comes with the decision. Jesus said, the world hated me first. It will hate you also. He's not trying to deceive any of you. He's being very realistic right off the bat, what we're signing up for. But with that, he's also offering us something more valuable than anything this world could ever possibly give us, anything we could ever possibly achieve in this world. Jesus, as much as he will cost you, as much as it might bring difficulty your way, he will be twice as valuable for your life. You will find that Jesus is worth everything that you can give him and more. That is the reality that Jesus is calling his followers to. And I'm afraid that for many of us, life with Jesus has been very cheapened and watered down. Even just living in America, we live in such a comfy, cushy world. Everything is on a platter for us. Even those who are poor, in the grand scheme of things, are really so wealthy when it comes to just physical wealth, physical circumstance. And so I think we as the American church, we are especially prone to watering down the gospel and the call of being a disciple of Christ. And I think it's important that we remember what Jesus is really calling us to. It might not be for everybody. Everybody may not want to make this choice. But if you want to follow Jesus, you're choosing to die to yourself. You're choosing to give up the freedom to live how you want. You're choosing to give up your flesh. You're choosing to say, not my way, not my will, your way. You're choosing to submit yourself to a new rule. You're changing ownership. Ownership is going from you own your life and you live by the flesh to God owns my life. I live by the Spirit. That is what you sign up for when you follow Jesus. And for many of you who maybe you believe in God, or you've said you're a Christian, but your faith has just felt disconnected. It's felt fruitless. It's felt kind of pointless and empty. And you wonder why you even followed Jesus. Maybe it's because you've been sold a cheap gospel. Maybe it's because you signed up for something that didn't really mean anything at all. And I'm here to present the real Jesus to you. He costs much. He takes much. He asks for much. But he gives so much more if we are ready to give him all of us. The one who gave everything for you wants to make all of heaven, all of God's blessings available to you if you would just be willing to take up your cross and follow him. And as we do this, I'm so challenged by, or as we think about this reality Jesus has presented, I'm so challenged by the early disciples, the apostles, the early church, who they grasp this idea, they grasp what Jesus was calling them to so deeply, and they live it out in such a beautiful way. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, he says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ. So Peter's saying, hey, the most valuable thing in my life, it's greater worth than gold, is greater worth than anything in all creation. It is refined through the fire of persecution, through the fire of trials, through pain. It's refined as I experience the cost of following Christ. And so if the most important thing in my life grows through trials and persecution and pain, bring it on. Let me embrace it with great hope and joy. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you can be mature and lacking nothing. Pure joy when you face trials. That is incredibly challenging. Many of us, we face trials, we experience pain, but I don't know how many of us have pure joy in it. I know I often do not. But it is such a challenge about what are we really pursuing in life? What kind of framework do we really have for the life that we're living? What allows me to have pure joy when I experience pain and suffering in this life? When somebody rejects me, when some person denies me the job I'm pursuing because of my faith, when somebody calls me names because of my faith, when people are literally killed because of their faith in Christ, what allows you to have pure joy in that kind of rejection, that kind of pain, that kind of suffering in this world? It's only a true grasp of just how valuable Jesus is and what he's offering you truly is. That is the only thing that could allow us to have pure joy when we face trials, because it grows and strengthens the most valuable thing in our life. Acts chapter 5. There's a story about Peter and the apostles. They're preaching the gospel, and they get caught, and they're brought before the Sanhedrin, and they are flogged. All of them are flogged for preaching the gospel of Christ in the streets, and they're rebuked, and they say, all right, this is your warning. Now, stop preaching the gospel. We're letting you go, but you need to shut up. And they, Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They walk away rejoicing because their faith in Christ, their commitment to Christ was so real that it conjured up this kind of response from the world, that somebody would flog them for it. They were counted worthy of the name of Christ. What a convicting story. I remember being 13 years old, reading that story, and being like, man, what kind of life am I living with Christ? Would I really be rejoicing if I was flogged for the name of Christ? Now, I've never been presented with a circumstance where I need to be even close to that. I've hardly even been called names for my faith. If anything, most people just respect and admire the fact that I'm committed to my faith. We're so disconnected from this reality. But man, what a challenge. What kind of commitment do I have to Christ? How much do I really love my Savior? How much am I willing to give him? Is he really worth it? Jesus will cost you something. Is he worth the cost? Is he valuable enough to you to even be flogged and walk away rejoicing because, hey, it's an opportunity for me to just be strengthened, to be counted worthy of following Jesus. So powerful. Do we see it as a true joy to follow Christ? Do we recognize just what a privilege it is to know him? Man, none of us deserve to even have breath in our lungs, to be honest. Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short. What we deserve is eternal punishment. And yet God has given us grace. One, he's given us breath in our lungs, but he's given us a chance to repent and know life with Christ. And so any difficulty we face in that choice to follow Christ is nothing but privilege. It's nothing but joy. And I gotta confess that this message has hit especially home to me lately, because I've found myself turning my walk with God and even my call to be a pastor, I've allowed it to become such an obligation and such a burden. And I found myself more often than not just complaining about all that I have to do. And oh, what a burden it is that I have to carry this weight, and I have to, you know, this, this, and this, just whining, complaining. and God convicted me so deeply. What a privilege it is to be called. And that's not just me. Every single one of you is called according to his purpose. If you give your life to Christ, he has great, immense purpose for your life. What a privilege it is to live life on mission for the kingdom of heaven. What a privilege it is to even know Jesus as your Savior. How undeserving we all are. How undeserving I am that God would call me to be a pastor, that he would pick me out as a 13-year-old, completely unqualified, completely unnatural, and all that he would ask me to do. And yet he would choose me to do something like this, the thing that God intended to be my greatest sense of purpose and blessing and so fulfilling. Satan has attacked and tried to turn it into a burden, right? And I found myself just seeing it as just that, a burden, and finding myself trying to grasp back at things of this world, trying to find momentary pleasure, momentary joy in this world. And I legitimately repented of it in the past couple weeks. And I said, Lord, reinvigorate my passion, my joy, my commitment to following you. Jesus, I want you to have everything. What does this world have for me? If I'm going to follow you, I want to do it with everything that I have. What's the sense in doing it half-hearted? What's the sense in being one foot in and one foot out? Revelation, God says, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be hot or cold. Once again, God's calling us to a decisive action. He's fed up with one foot in, one foot out. So many of us have bought the lie that we can get by in the middle. Jesus is calling you to pick a side. He's calling you to make a decisive choice. You might not like the choice. You might not want to sign up for it. You might not like what he's offering you. You have a choice. But whatever choice you make it with conviction, wholeheartedly. If you're going to reject him, you reject him fully. If you're going to accept him, you accept him fully. And you follow him with your whole life, your whole heart. You lay everything you have down at his feet. You give yourself fully to him, and he will give himself fully to you. That is when your faith will mean something. That's when it will finally be worthwhile following Jesus and being a Christian. That's when you'll start having a testimony of how God has shown up and moved in your life and transformed your life and lives around you. When you go all in, when you give him everything, and you stop being lukewarm, stop being one foot in, one foot out. I can't put this, I feel like all this can be summed up, just the mindset Christ is calling us to have is summed up so well by Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Paul who was transformed by Jesus, he was a persecutor of Christians. Paul ordered the death of many, many Christians, many, many believers in the early church. He's responsible for the death of many believers, and Jesus meets him on the road and gives him a vision and completely, radically transforms his life. But Paul was a Jew. He knew the scriptures. He knew the law. And so he's talking about, if anybody had a reason to boast, anybody has a reason to brag, at least in his modern, in his context, it was Paul. According to humans and the human religion at the time, he was the highest order. He had every reason to brag. But Paul says this to the Philippian church: whatever I gain, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul sees the resurrection of Christ, eternal life, all that Christ is offering him, the most valuable thing imaginable, and he considers all else loss for the sake of gaining Christ. There is nothing he could gain, nothing he had in this world that has any value compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ and stepping into all that he has available. He considers it rubbish. There's another translation that I read, one of the more literal translations, translated this word rubbish to dung, that he considers all things literal dung, complete worthless garbage compared to Jesus. Once again, what a challenging word. How many things in our life do we really consider rubbish compared to knowing Christ? What would you really be willing to leave behind for Jesus if he called you? If Jesus called you to sell it all and follow him, would you go? What is that thing that you're tempted to hold on to in place of Christ? What is that thing that is taking ownership of your heart over Jesus? I think every one of us can find ourselves tempted in this way or drifting towards loving something in this world, and we need to be challenged and checked and refresh our commitment to Christ. Consider that there's nothing valuable in this world compared to knowing Christ. Whatever it takes to receive what he has, take it. It's a no-brainer. That's the kind of mindset, the heart I hope we can get to, that we would just experience Christ in such a way, know him in such a way, know his goodness in such a way that we would say, Jesus, you have everything. Doesn't matter what it is, you're worth it. I don't even have to think about it. Whatever it is, you're worth it. Have it. And I think, again, this is especially challenging for us because we have a lot in this country. We have a lot at our fingertips. We're not very natural in our position of humility and cost and suffering. This is not something we naturally face. And so for us, it's an active, intentional decision to give up our life to follow Christ. Paul continues in verses 12 through 14, so in Philippians chapter 3. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal, to the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Again, Paul is forsaking all else. He's leaving all else behind for the prize set before him, for the great thing set before him in Christ. He's pursuing that at all costs. Is the goal before you, is the prize set before you, is it worth the cost? Are we ready to forsake all else to receive all that Jesus has for us? Are we ready to say goodbye to this world with no expectation to return to the former things, to step into what lies ahead in Christ? Here's a story of a Spanish conqueror from 1519. His name is Hernan Cortez, and he was leading an army of 600 men, and they were on ships sailing, and they got to what they believed to be the New World. It was new land that they were set out to conquer, and they sail up to this land. They get off their boats, they get onto the land, and their commander realizes they may be undermanned, right? They might be up against quite the task here. Even Hernan Cortez realizes, all right, we might have bit off more than we can chew. And he can even sense his men are feeling nervous, aren't feeling super confident. And so Hernan Cortez orders the burning of every ship that they arrived in. And so they set up all the ships in flames. And he says, we either go forward in victory or we die trying. There's no other option. There's no escape. The goal before us is the only choice. It's the only option. And so they had to commit to it full-heartedly. They had to go forward with no other option. And they march forward, and as the story goes, they win. They take victory in battle. Do we have a burn the ships kind of faith? I believe Jesus is calling us to a burn the ships kind of faith, that we would give our flesh no other option, no way out, that we give ourselves no way out from the goal set before us. The reality is when we give ourselves a way out, we're weak. We're so prone to take the easy way out, to run back to whatever it was that we set out to leave. Many of us maybe have set out to follow Christ, but we still allowed things here and there. We still kept our toes in the water of the world, still tried to keep our foot back a little bit, kept the emergency door open. Just in case this Jesus thing doesn't work out, I still got this back here. I still have the world here. I still have my money. I still have my possessions. I still have my nice house. I still have all these friends over here. None of that stuff is inherently wrong. But does it captivate your heart? Does it pull you from Christ? Does it cause you to second guess your commitment in Christ? It might be different for every person. Jesus may go up to one person and he may say, I need you to sell your possession. But to the other person, he may say, I need you to give up your job. To the other person, he may say, I need you to leave that relationship behind. I don't know what it could be. I don't know what it is that is taking priority in your heart over Christ. But whatever it is, it's worth giving up to receive Christ. God is calling us out of a lukewarm faith, and he's calling us to decisive action, to choose today if Jesus is worth what he's calling you to give. Is Jesus worth it to you? He's calling you to burn the ships kind of faith, that there be no other option, no turning back when we've made the choice to follow Christ.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.